We move into a different a section of James now, the last verses of James chapter 2, James chapter 2, 14 through 26, that Pastor Darrow read for us this morning. And the title of the message is, Be Sure You Have the Right Kind of Faith. Be sure you have the right kind of faith. There's nothing more important than all of existence than to make sure you have the right kind of faith. Now, as I've been sharing with you, we've been following through the exhortations that James has given to believers. James starts out in James chapter 1 and in verse 2, and he calls them my brethren. So we know that we're talking about believers here because he calls them his brothers, his sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells his brothers and sisters in Christ that they need to be patient in testing. That's not easy. But that is what we are to do, and he tells us how to do it in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Then he goes on to exhort us to ask God's wisdom when we're facing trials. That's James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. Then the next thing he tells us is to be focused on the Lord. Keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what the situation is. That's James 1, 9 through 11. Then we have been exhorted to be strong in temptation, James 1, 12 through 18. And then be doers of the word, James 1, 19 through 27. And then we finished up, be impartial towards others, James chapter 2, 1 through 13. Now, that brings us to a whole new furrow to plow this morning. And that is, be sure you have the right kind of faith. I want to stress on you that faith, very, very importantly, is a key doctrine in Christianity. The sinner is saved by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the sinner is saved by faith. And the believer, once we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. Further than that, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And then finally, whatever we do apart from faith is sin. I'd like to read Romans chapter 14, 23 to you. It says, And he that doubteth is damned if he eateth, because he eateth not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Very, very clearly. Now, some people have the idea and would be led to believe that faith is some kind of a nebulous feeling that we need to work up. You know, we need to really work up that faith. But no, I disagree with that. That is not the biblical concept of faith. I don't have to work up anything in relationship to biblical faith. You see, because biblical faith is confidence that God's word is true. We can believe it, you know. God said it, I believe it, and that should settle it for me and for you. So we need to understand that faith is confidence that God's word is true and the conviction that acting upon God's word will bring blessing. If we obey God's word, it will bring blessing. Oh, sure, sometimes people won't like it, but I'm talking about spiritual blessings that God will give us if we act on it. Faith is an action word. It needs to be acted on. Now, in this particular section, in verses 14 through 26, James shows the relationship between faith and works. And it is really important that we get a hold of this, because if you don't get a hold of the interaction between faith and works, and you get the wrong idea, you put your eternal salvation at risk. Because if you believe that works is a part of your salvation, that isn't what being talked about here, but there's a lot of people who do, and you know what? There's a lot of people who aren't going to be in heaven because They think that faith and works are required for salvation. It's not true. You see, in this section, James actually is posing three questions relating to faith, and then he answers those questions. And here are the three questions. What kind of faith saves a person? We're going to be beginning to look at that this morning. What kind of faith saves a person? Number two, is it necessary to perform good works in order to be saved? And number three, how can a person tell if he is exercising saving faith? Now, James answers these questions by explaining that there are three kinds of faith. And we're going to look at the first one this morning, but please note this. There's three kinds of faith that James addresses here in this particular passage of Scripture. First of all, there's dead faith. And that's what we're going to start looking at today is dead faith, James chapter 2, 14 through 17. The next thing there is demonic faith. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. We'll be going to talk about the demonic faith. Even the devils believe and tremble. Then we're going to talk about dynamic faith, the real kind of faith. So dead faith first, demonic faith second, and dynamic faith third. And so let's begin with dead faith. Dead faith in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto him, oh, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, dead faith, being alone. Now, I know already, because I've run into them, there are those who advocate a works-oriented salvation and deny the gospel of the grace of Christ. And when they do that, they quickly jump to James chapter 2 and in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? But I also want you to look at James chapter 2, verse 24, because they jump to that as well, to try and prove that faith is by works. It says, ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. I'm wanting to try and help you understand what's going on here today, and the way that I can do this is by telling you that there are two different aspects of justification. Now, the Apostle Paul writes his book of Romans, and as Paul writes his book of Romans, particularly Romans chapter, 3 and 4 and 5 as well, but Paul presents justification before God in the book of Romans. That's what he does. And for instance, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I can't put all the scriptures in that I use. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. This is being justified before God. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So what the Apostle Paul is doing is telling us that we are justified before God by faith. And that's what he's addressing, how we obtain salvation. That is justification before God. But James is looking at it differently. As I mentioned to you in James chapter 1, verse 2, He starts out by addressing them as brethren. So he is addressing a Christian crowd in James chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. So here's how James is looking at it. James is addressing justification before men. How you show that you're saved. That's what James is doing. He is talking about being justified before men. James, in the second chapter of his letter, is addressing this. James was not addressing how to be saved. It is clear from James chapter 1 and verse 2 that he already knew that his audience was saved. He is explaining that true believers live the Christian life. That's how you show people you're saved. You live the Christian life. That's how the onlooking world knows that there's something different, because you live the Christian life. He says in James chapter 2 and in verse 18, Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Show that you have faith by what you do. And that's what James is doing. He's talking about justification before men. Here's the situation. And I want you to grasp hold of this, because a lot of people miss this. Any declaration of faith that does not result in a changed life and good works is a false declaration. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 16, our Lord Jesus Christ makes this clear. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. I'm just telling you, any declaration of faith that does not result in a changed life and good works is a false declaration. There are many people who profess faith, who do not have genuine faith, as we just read in Matthew chapter 20. Now we're going to, or Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20. It says, by their fruit ye shall know them. But look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So all that's telling you is this. If you have genuine faith, you're going to show it by how you live. You're going to show it by your works. There needs to be fruit. If there's no fruit in your life, you better check it out. If there's no change in your life, you better check it out. Well, I don't care how many Bible verses you know. I don't care how many times you've read through the Bible. If there is not some demonstrable fruit, then there is a problem. Christians who claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, therefore, I believe, are obliged to diligently serve the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in his commandments. James supports this by using the illustration in James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Let's look at that. If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they have need, which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now, when a brother or sister has a genuine need, not talking about a genuine need of food and clothing. When a brother or a sister has a genuine need, they are destitute, they have no food, they have no clothes. If all you do is wish them well, what good is that? Now, the answer is, it's worthless. You see, true salvation can be seen. In this case, it would be demonstrated by providing what they need. God wants his people to be ready to distribute and willing to communicate, according to 1 Timothy chapter 16, or 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. What does that mean? Well, basically that means that you are willing to associate with those folks who are needy and to share with those who have needs. According to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we are to do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know what James is saying? If you have faith, it works out in how you live. The truth is, and this is something to really ponder. The truth is, without doing loving deeds, it is as empty as claiming to have faith with no corresponding change of life. A lot of Christians who've done the 1, 2, 3, pray after me stuff. Now, you can get saved by going through the Roman road and by praying the sinner's prayer. You can get saved. That's true, if there's repentance and you genuinely put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. If there is no change in your life, if you continue on business as usual, then there is a problem. James says this in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Why? Well, we've been talking about it. Because living faith, saving faith, produces works. It's just the natural outcome of that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, after we have 8 and 9, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll deal with that a little bit more. You know, I like what one commentator said as I was studying for this. He said, workless faith is worthless faith. Workless faith is worthless faith. What does that mean? It's dead faith. It's dead faith. You know, somebody who professes they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and there's no change in their life, let's just say that they were addicted to alcohol and they were liars and cheats and thieves, and they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and a long time goes on and there's no change in their life. They're still a drunk and still a thief, and they still do those type of things. There's no change in their life, but they said the prayer. See, that's what James is trying to get at. He's saying a workless faith is a worthless faith. There needs to be a change. While it is faith alone that justifies, I'm not denying that, it is faith alone that justifies. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Faith that justifies is never alone. Now, here's what I mean. True saving faith is never alone. It always brings life. And you know what? Life produces fruit. Life produces good works. One of my favorite newer commentaries is by Dr. David Sorensen. He has an entire set of commentaries on the entire Bible. He's a Baptist, a fundamental independent Baptist up in Minnesota. And here's what Sorensen says in his commentary. A claimed faith which does not affect any change of life is dead. And the word effect means result in. So a claimed faith which does not result in any change of life is dead. Saving faith, which produces the new birth, will bring about a change of life and works. A born-again Christian may not always do all that he ought to do, nor be all that he ought to be. But if he is truly saved, there will be a difference. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. His life will be changed from the inside out. End quote. Sorensen's right on. I had to laugh at this one. I was doing a lot of reading again this week and came across this. A good illustration of how faith changes your life. The writer writes, "No man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same any more than he can come into contact with a 220 volt wire and remain the same." Shocking. Thankfully, I haven't come into a 220. I've had 110 enough, and that's shocking enough. We used to have a man who was a member here who was a high tension wire guy. He got shocked one time. It went into his arm, and it actually blew out his leg at the bottom. He wasn't the same. You know, when Jacob had his encounter with God, his hip was out of joint. He wasn't the same. And what I'm telling you is, when you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're born again, you're not going to be the same. That's really what the Bible's all about. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." You know, dead faith is not saving faith at all. It's just not. Dead faith is counterfeit faith. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. I've met many people who have this dead faith. You can't find one raisin of fruit in their life. Not one dried raisin of fruit in their life. But it lulls the person into false confidence of eternal life. You could have said the sinner's prayer. You could have called on the name of the Lord, but if it was not in biblical faith and it isn't demonstrated by some kind of a change in your life, then you need to check it out. You just need to check it out. For your own eternal abode, you need to check it out. James is very, very clear about dead faith. James chapter 2, verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." James chapter 2, and in verse 20, "But wilt thou know, O vain man," see that? Vain, puffed up, focused on their self. They're not seeing clearly. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is" what? "Dead." James chapter 2 and verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." You know what you got? Dead, dead, dead. You can go talk to a dead body all you want. I used to work for an undertaker. And it is true, after a while, when the removal is on, the bodies get stiff. That's why they call them a stiff. You could go and say to the man, I remember a neighbor of mine, a fine Christian man, he was in his late 80s, and he died. And you know what? I could go over to George and say, "George! Get up! Come on! Stand up, George!" You know what he did? He just laid there stiff. Why? He was dead. My point is this. Saving faith brings life. Life brings fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. You need to abide in the vine, because when you're abiding in the vine, the juice flows through into the vine, and some people bring fruit, some people bring more fruit, some people bring much fruit. But you see, there is always fruit. There is always fruit. Dead faith, no fruit. Now I just want to set the record straight here. James, his teaching is no different than Paul's, the apostle, and the other apostles in this matter. They all taught that saving faith produced works. And I quoted to you a little bit earlier, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, but I want to add to that Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what that means? It means live out your own salvation. Make it obvious to the people, because remember, the Apostle Paul is talking about being justified before God. James is talking about being justified before men, showing men that you're saved. That's what James is writing to. He's writing to the saved audience and saying, if you say that you're a Christian, show everybody that you're a Christian. They should know that you're a Christian by the way that you live, by the way that you behave. You know, this passage that we looked at this morning puts faith and works in their proper order. It is faith alone that connects us with the free salvation offer in Jesus Christ. This salvation is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't join a church to get it. It is a free gift. It is something that was purchased by another. It was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it was freely given to us. Our works have nothing to do with it, and cannot add one iota to completing our salvation that we have complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the full price of our salvation was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. Ah, but our works follow after salvation and are the product of it, because we are then in the vine. And the Holy Spirit within us yields fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. It produces fruit when you're connected to the vine. Our works follow after salvation and are the product of it, being created by God in the believing sinner. We are saved by God's free grace, and then we serve Him with a thankful heart because we are saved, knowing that we cannot add anything to our salvation that Christ bought in our stead. You know, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Says this, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. All I can do this morning is lay the word of God before you. I cannot look into your heart. I cannot see if you're pretending. I cannot see if you're genuinely saved. I cannot see so many of those things, but God can. And between you and God, follow the Apostle Paul. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? And if He isn't, you know what it says? Ye be reprobates. If Jesus Christ isn't in you, you're a reprobate. I don't care how many times you come to church. I don't care if you come to church every time that the doors are open. Well, that's not a problem for most of you. But anyway, you know what? But that isn't going to save you, even though that is a good thing to do. But that isn't what saves you. You know, a believer wants to feast on the Word of God, wants to be under the teaching of the Word of God, wants to grow in the things of the Lord. So, is your faith dead or alive? Is your faith dead or alive? And it's critical that you know whether it is or whether it isn't, because your entire destiny rests upon how you answer the question. Is there fruit? Well, we don't always do all we could do. I don't. We don't always do all we should do. I don't. But there needs to be fruit, because faith without works is dead, dead, dead. Let's pray.